This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, it's Friday, December 29th, 2017, and here we are doing our last show of 2017, just of 2017, not our last show ever. But we are getting it in live before New Year's. If you want to talk to us, maybe you're listening while you're driving home from work or getting ready to go out. You can call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. I've got two guests with me today, a familiar voice to you, Raymond Johnson, associate producer of this very show and the man who makes things run. Hi, Raymond.
Hi, Tristan. Happy New
Year. Do you want to tell like the audience like other things you do, or you just want to be a man of mystery?
Well, I guess I spilled my guts a little bit more on the episode I hosted with Billy James a few weeks ago.
Oh, so good. Okay.
If you want to hear, I talk a little bit about how I got into becoming a shiatsu therapist and things like that. So if people are ever interested in what else I do besides producing Sex Out Loud, that episode's a good place to
start. Because he has a very full life, just so you know. And this is just a little speck in his week.
Sometimes. Tonight is actually our 259th episode.
Oh my god.
I know. I fell down on the job. I meant to look up 250, so we passed that mark.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Okay, 259. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good, it's a weird number.
It feels good.
It feels good. It feels like we've accomplished a lot.
It does. Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Is it 5 years?
It is. Yeah. 5 years. Five and a half, really.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. If I kick it for another, you know, 5 or 10, it'll be like my longest relationship. Anyway, neither here nor there. We have joining us sex educator, activist, author, speaker, and she's been a guest on the show before, Elle Chase. Hi, Elle.
Hello.
Let me refresh people's memory about you, because you've been like, you know, featured all over the internet, and you've been on the Today Show, you know, pre the firing of what's his name?
Yeah. right.
There's a few things you're very well known for. You wrote a book called Curvy Sex, Curvy Girl Sex, 101 mm-hmm. Body Positive Positions to Empower Your Sex Life. You also are the creator of the award-winning feminist sensual images blog, LadyCheeky.com. And consistently, LadyCheeky.com is named to these lists of like number one or the top five or the top 10 porn sites for women. So Salon has said it, Cosmopolitan has said it, Huffington Post has said it. I think Bustle has probably said it.
Sure.
Yeah. There's a lot. And there's a companion site, Smut for Smarties. And you also are the director of education at the Los Angeles Academy of Sex Education. And you also did this really cool, not safe for work, totally naughty coloring book.
Yeah.
Which I have. There's a coloring book, and then there's a curvy girl coloring book, too.
Mm, yes.
So those are. Oh, wow. Yeah. You've done a lot.
I sound interesting.
You are.
You're it's very true. It's all true.
So I want to sort of do, today's show is going to be about like the year end. Like we're going to just look back on 2017 and say, hey, what went so horribly wrong? No, we know it went wrong, but we're going to look back on 2017 and then we're going to look ahead to the future. So Let's start with the past year, which we all know has sucked on so many levels, but I'll just say it. It sucked. I mean, how do you even, Raymond, when you think of 2017, what do you think of?
Oh, this is fine. This is fine. That's pretty much the meme, the dumpster fire, the dog on fire, the cup on fire, that sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, I go back and forth, because there's obviously there's still part of me that I get shocked and I get surprised and at how low things can go and how bad things can go. But then there's also the other part of me that has been sort of paying attention and taking history and seeing how we got here and how everything led here. And it does feel a little bit like, I feel like 2017 is a little bit like lancing a boil. Like, it's sort of like we had to sort of get rid of this like putrid, disgusting thing, but you also have to like release it. And now we're sort of in the midst of all of that being released. So that's mm-hmm. a little bit what that feels like. 2017.
Well, it's also been, it's been exposed on to a larger, more people are getting it. Right? Mm-hmm. Like lots of folks of color will tell you, and lots of poor people and lots of disabled people would say, this is nothing new. But
right.
What is new is that lots and lots of people are sort of waking up to just how bad things are and yeah. are sort of stepping outside their own experiences. And also that the veil has been lifted, that in some ways, you know, it's not that like people got more racist, it's that people feel emboldened to be openly racist,
right?
You know, casually right. at the grocery store or on Twitter, or, you know, if you're the president of the United States, like people just feel really emboldened to declare themselves white supremacists and say, like, that's me. I belong to that club, which seems just horrifying. And it's not that those beliefs weren't there. It's just that everyone has sort of let it now show, let themselves right. show.
And I also think even the sort of the next level below that are people who, there are those people who are like, they really just keep insisting, I'm not racist, but you keep saying I am, so I'm going to keep saying these things, and that sort of digging your heels in, and mm-hmm. sort of that closing up and not realizing, like, you know, that they are, I really feel like in their heart of hearts, they are believing what they say when they say they're not racist, even when they are so clearly acting so very, very racist.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
sort of, you know, being faced with that.
It's like the sexual harassers, you know, they don't think that what they're doing is, what do you mean? This is the way it's always been. We've always
right.
tapped women on the ass. And it's like, no,
right.
you don't understand.
Right.
See, that's not okay. But they have no clue. And
right.
Now they do, or now they're getting to know that they should have a clue.
Right. So the problem has existed all along, but there have been these systems in place to keep it hidden or shut down or closed off.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a reckoning sort of on all sides, right? There's been a reckoning around sexual harassment in the workplace and sexual abuse and sexual assault. And there's been a reckoning for these like closeted KKK members who are, you know, really proud to be white supremacists. And it feels like the world is coming to an end. I'm not going to lie. I mean, that's how it feels to me on a daily basis. It is hard for me to wake up and say, no, 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 we're going to get through this, because it just feels like, what's next? You know, every morning you wake up and you look at your social media feed and you're like, oh my God, like another thing is completely on fire.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, stop doing that first thing in the morning, Tristan.
Okay, so maybe I'm gonna write that down. I'm gonna make a list now yeah. about things I'm gonna do going forward in 2018. Checking my phone and the
I
news.
Mean, it's true. I really had to start looking at that shit for myself. I mean, I kind of have even been thinking about, you know, how they make those attachments that you can like monitor your heart rate and your breath rate and track it with apps and things like
yes,
that.
Yeah.
And I feel like for people who deal with panic disorders or anxiety or PTSD or things like that, I feel like it could be helpful. Because, like, sometimes I think, I'm just going to dip into Twitter a little. Like, I'm just going to dip in. I'm just going to sort of see what so-and-so's up to, see what's going on. And I don't really realize the more I'm reading, the more that I'm clenching. And I think my heart rate is going up and my breath is getting more shallow. So I'm sort of thinking about wanting to, like, hack into one of those as a self-care mechanism so that it'll do an alert, like, hey, shut it down. Close your laptop.
God.
Like,
I need you in my life.
Right. I think it would be really helpful to kind of like set this up, as, you know, because then, you know, that's a lot of times what I need is some help with self-monitoring. Is you first need that tap on the shoulder to help you figure out where the line is. And then you can start to figure out the line for yourself. So
I need you to call me every morning, Raymond. I wake up at like 4 a.m. every morning. Uh-huh. And then I make my coffee. I turn on the fire because, you know, it's winter. Uh-huh. And then I turn on MSNBC and I have it on all day long and I'm stressed out. And then my best friend comes to stay with me and she doesn't watch. She's like, no TV for me. And all of a sudden I'm happier.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, but I'm compelled to watch the news because I want to be one of the first people to know when he's getting impeached. Right. Like, I still can't believe.
You'll get some texts. I promise some people will text you. I promise.
You text me?
I promise.
God, I hope so.
But I do think it's, you know, it's interesting, like, I guess I was thinking about why we know that we feel better, but we want to keep looking, right?
Can't look away.
I mean, I think some of it, too, I guess this goes back to what Tristan is saying a little bit too. Like, it feels like the apocalypse and you, and that's all you're really feeling. And I think it's because we need to introduce something new. It's kind of like if you have a vice or if you have a bad habit and you're just trying to quit it, you're not going to be successful unless you replace it in some way. Like, you replace the relationship, you replace the time, and you replace the energy. And so I think for me, I'm feeling a little bit like all these places I used to hang out and really got a lot of joy from, like Twitter, like Facebook. I mean, they always had their stresses, but they brought a lot of relationships. They brought a lot of information, understanding, new ideas, all the great things. And now they just fucking torture us. And so it's a little bit like, I think I'm in an abusive relationship and it sort of happened a little bit at a time, you know? And so I need to sort of find something for me to kind of replace it, because social media gave so many things. It gave us the news. It gave us our hobbies. It gave us our friends. It gave us our porn.
Community.
Yeah. And so I'm having to kind of rethink, like, how do I find community? How do I find connection? How do I find information and things like that? And it's tricky. And I don't know where I'm going next. You know, we knew after I feel like there was LiveJournal, and then we went to Friendster and MySpace, and then we went to Facebook and Twitter. And now I'm like, what's the next thing? I need the next thing.
I mean, for me, Instagram, I prefer Instagram, and I got into Instagram this year in a deeper way because there's a little bit more lightness. It's just when I want to go see people shred other people to pieces, I go to Facebook. And when I want to see insightful yet depressing news commentary and criticism, I go to Twitter. But when I want to see pictures of puppies and food, which are very soothing to me, I go to Instagram. Not that there are obviously political things happening on Instagram also.
Right.
I just feel like there's something about the vibe over there that's just like different from other places.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel soul sucking to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, I feel like it's hard to balance. You know, I feel like people use social media in different ways. And on the one hand, there are people who, it just looks like they're having the time of their lives, like the time of their lives. And I believe it for like a hot second. And then I'm like, oh, wait. No, they're just showing me all the good parts. Okay. This is not really, no, there's bad parts too. But then on Facebook, I feel like some people tell you about the bad parts in great detail and it's heart wrenching. And then I don't know what to do with all that. Like, it, you know, to sort of witness it and feel like this is someone I sort of know and they're going through something really awful and they've just shared it very explicitly. What do I do here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I know what we're going to do for now, which is take a break.
Oh, right.
That's pretty different. 1 minute at a time, 1 day at a time, folks. So all I have to do is get to the next commercial break and get through it. So let's hear from our sponsor, The Pleasure Chest, and who we love, all of us love, love, love. And when we come back, we will talk about New Year's Eve, New Year's resolutions, and what 2018 has in store for us. We're going to open up the crystal ball. So stay with us. More with Raymond, Elle, and me when we get back. Hey, everyone. I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. How come you never call us? You can, you know. You can call us live right now and tell us about what 2017 meant for you, what you're looking forward to in 2018. We are at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. And we is me and my two guests, Raymond Johnson and Elle Chase. And before the break, we were sort of doing a wrap-up of 2017. Is there anything anyone wants to say about the previous year before we move on?
I think it's best that we move on.
Okay. But what? I did just want to, wanted to say there are three things I thought of that didn't suck in 2017. I wanted to give a shout out to. Okay.
Okay. Great.
So the first thing that I did love about this year was ResistBot. Do y'all know about ResistBot? Are you familiar with the ResistBot?
No.
So if you text the word resist, R-E-S-I-S-T, resist, to 50409, it's a text message. You can do it on Messenger. They also do Telegram. Then you will basically, you will text them and you can write a letter to your representatives. It'll ask where you're located. It'll say, do you want to send it to the Senate? Do you want to send it to the House? Do you want to send it to your governor? You can point that all out. You can type it on your phone as a text message. They sends it to them and then they fax it to your representative's office.
Yes.
So in the studies that they've shown, phone calls are best, but faxes are actually second best when it comes to flooding people's offices and communicating with your representatives.
Right, because the beeps keep coming in. The paper has to be replaced.
Exactly. Yes. It ties up the phone line, it makes noise, all that stuff. People have to engage. It takes up office resources. So again, if you text just the word resist, R-E-S-I-S-T, to the number 50409. This is a real thing. I've been using it all year. It's an all-volunteer organization. You don't have to download an app. You don't have to talk to anyone. You just do it all through texting. So it's great if you don't want to talk on the phone. It's also great, Elle, if you're up at 4 a.m. watching MSNBC. Like, I feel like when I'm in the middle of the night and I get really, like, inordinately upset about something, I think, you know what? I don't need to hold on to this bullshit. I'm going to put this bullshit into the people who need to hold on to it. And I put it into a text to the resist bot so that I know that representatives wake up in the morning to my angry letters about them.
Awesome.
So it's awesome. A great, great resource. And it makes me happy. I'm starting to see more people like on my different feeds are posting their pictures of their letters and stuff like that. Awesome. So that's one of the best things about the year. I know we did mention the Me Too hashtag moment and the reckoning. I definitely think. Like, I had a moment when I saw my mom a couple weeks ago where she was even, like, telling her Me Too stories. And so I think it was one of those moments of, like, oh, wow. It's like, it really is that widespread. It really is kind of stretching, like, everywhere, you know. And so that was it. And the third thing that didn't suck for me this year is the North American solar eclipse. So I'm a big-ass nerd. And I also live near the totality zone. And so I know a lot of people in California, like, it probably looked pretty cool where y'all were.
But not
I was
that
in the
cool.
place. Yeah, the 100% was like, it was like a spiritual experience. It was really kind of amazing. And I had a really fun time. I had a car full of some really great, like, queer cuties. And we just went up to a mountain and found a hiking trail. And we're out with a bunch of other people. And it was just a really amazing, beautiful experience that kind of did help give me a little bit of hope, because it kind of helped pull back the sense of time. Like, it really helped me feel like, okay, this is a hard ass year, but like, I got to pull the lens back and see, like, there have been other hard years and there have been other hard times. And how do I kind of look back on other hard times and find out what people did then to sort of survive. Yeah. So for me, like, you know, those things that are happened in nature and happen regularly, but in these big time cycles kind of help me, like, it's probably the Buddhist in me sort of take that sort of step back when I am feeling like, when I was feeling too overwhelmed by the bullshit that we were, the boil that we lanced in 2017.
Yeah. What a great list.
Yeah.
That's a really good list.
Thanks.
You know, this reminds me, Elle, of a blog post you wrote about the Me Too reckoning, where you talked about sexual harassment within the sex education community.
Yeah.
Which is something people do not talk about as a general rule.
No, it's really shocking, too, when you're, you know, we're such a consent-based community, you know,
right.
We have to be. And the same with the kink community as well. And it's so shocking that you could be working with someone and then they could blatantly send you, you know, a dick pic, or they could say something inappropriate or touch you in an inappropriate way. And it is, it really sort of like takes you aback and just go, oh, really? Now that's ruined, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think it's so tricky too, because the fact of the matter is, like, people we work with, we also have conversations with that are quite explicit about sex and sexuality, right? So when I, you know, I remember when I met with some big agents at CAA, and I started to just like tell my story to sort of introduce like who I am, and they were like, whoa. This is violating like our policy of what to discuss in the workplace. And I was like, what? No, this is me though. This is what I do. And they're like, right.
Literally, here's my book.
And whoa. It was just like a little wake up call that, oh, right. Like, people don't talk about anal sex every day, which I do, and Elle does, and I don't know about Raymond.
if I'm lucky.
So we're having these explicit conversations around sexuality that are different from people in other workplaces, right? But then also, like you said, you expect, because people are teaching about things like consent and boundaries and sexual authenticity and healing from sexual trauma and all of these things, you expect a certain level of awareness above and beyond everyday people.
Yeah.
And yet some of the same behavior that we've seen reported in the music industry, the television industry, in Hollywood, in politics, you know, wherever, is going on absolutely in sex ed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's it is really shocking, and it is very interesting to see how it sort of wheedles its way in, you know, because someone thinks that it's okay because we always talk about it, you know, we talk and you know where I'm coming from. And I don't need to really explain myself to you because we're in the same industry. We talk about this stuff, but when it gets personal is when it gets really sort of dodgy. We can talk about dick pics all we want, and we can do a blowjob class and have a big screenshot of a dick with things that say, you know, frenulum and corona. Right, right. But when someone sends you a picture of their own dick,
which you did not ask for or even hint that you wanted.
Or even hint that I wanted, it becomes a really icky feeling. I remember calling you when this particular thing happened to me, actually, and how shocked you were. Because it's not something that we even talk about. I'm not sure if it's something that's even realized half the time. It's just a yucky feeling that you have. And then you look back at it and you go, oh, that was really uncomfortable for a really good reason.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I also, it's so interesting to me because my boyfriend asked me this question after we went to this event in Mexico that I have a show on. I'll tell you all about it. It was an amazing, amazing experience. So I was like sort of the special guest at the Swing Set Takes Over Desire. And I went on the message boards beforehand and told people, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm up for. This is what I'm not up for. And I really like people to be direct. And I'm also going to be direct. Like I'm very rarely a maybe. I will let you know if I'm interested because that's my style. And so I had lots of invitations and lots of solicitations and people very openly were just like, hey, oh, hi. Oh, it's so nice to meet you. I love your book. Do you want to fist my wife? And I mean, this is just like on the regular, on the daily. And so my boyfriend asked me this question, which was like, do you feel sexually harassed all the time because people are constantly sort of making overtures and invitations and the thing is that felt so clear because it feels so clear to me when someone says like, have you been sexually harassed? The events that come to mind in my mind are very clear and it's where people specifically had power over me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like these are people who are like my peers. And so I feel like they're just sort of saying, hey, I'm totally interested in having sex with you. And I'm like, hey, okay, yes or no. But when there is a power dynamic and people are being really inappropriate and sort of pushing the bounds, which I've certainly had my fair share of, working in sort of all types of industries.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that component is really important for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have to take another commercial break. That's what Matt's telling me. Hey, I just want to let you know you guys have like almost a few days. If you're listening live and if you're not listening live, you may be out of luck, but you have a few days left to get a bunch of really good deals on the Pleasure Chest. If you spend $100, you get $15. If you spend $150, you get $25. And it's free shipping. And this ends December 31st. So you got to get it in before the end of the year. And so when we come back, I want to talk about New Year's resolutions and the new year. And I'll tell you what's going on at the Pleasure Chest and some of their great events. And we'll keep this discussion going. So stay with us. Hey everyone, I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. As you know, the Pleasure Chest has an incredible lineup of sex education classes. They're all free. They happen at various locations. Let me tell you what's coming up in January. In January in LA, Gray Dancer and his event, Gray Dancers Ropetastic Unconference Extravaganza, aka GRU, is returning to LA. January 5th, there is a meet and greet for GRU at the Pleasure Chest. And January 7th, he and Naya are teaching ritual and rope. So you don't want to miss that. In New York City, January 10th, Happy Nude Year, Foreplay 101 with Carly and Leon. And January 10th in Chicago, Butt Sex Basics with Tanya. Go to thepleasurechest.com to find out all about it. I'm talking today with Elle Chase and Raymond Johnson, and we are, you know, kind of wrapping up the year and looking ahead. So I want to talk about New Year's resolutions, and I want to first hear, like, do people have feelings about the whole concept of New Year's resolutions? Do you make New Year's resolutions? What are your, what's the vibe on New Year's resolutions?
I don't make them. I think it's a fake holiday. And I think that we have undue pressure on ourselves to come up with ideas that will make ourselves better throughout the new year. I just dislike them wholeheartedly because of that. How do you feel, Raymond?
I think all holidays are made up holidays.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
No, I totally support that stance, but I actually like New Year's resolutions. because I like a ritual of looking back. And so I've never been someone who's like, I'm not really into like the New Year's party or those part of traditions. And I'm terrible at making resolutions. My resolutions are always like way kind of too ambitious in these strange ways, you know. And it's also sort of hilarious, but I also like to journal. So I like to sort of like at the new year, I kind of like take stock on things and like make these plans. And so it's sort of hilarious to look at the catalog of all my like failed ambitions through the years. And these are things like learn, you know, really practice French, like for real this time, you know, things like that, like, you know, or like 250,000 push-ups or something. I mean, over the course, I don't know, whatever. But, you know, they still, I think that used to sort of depress me or frustrate me, but now it's like really seeing the patterns. It's just, it gives you different information about yourself, you know? So I definitely, I'm not, you know, I'm very anti, like losing weight and the whole guilt, getting healthy. Like I'm always like, well, healthy according to who, all that stuff. So a lot of the trappings, I totally get why people sort of hate resolutions and things like that. But I do think that there's something powerful, right, about why we make sort of vows to ourselves and sort of and plans. Like we like to make a plan. I think sometimes mm-hmm. resolutions are more helpful if you actually like sort of either make a concrete plan or if you make your resolutions maybe more of a theme. Like I know some people like their motto for the year is something like this is the year I finish things. And so really they just am always approaching things with that motto. Like how do I finish a project or things like that. So I think that there's room for maybe resolutions to be successful, but they definitely have to move away from how we kind of treat them. I mean, about you, Tristan?
I'm with you on this, Raymond, that I'm of two minds. Like, on the one hand, if everyone or if the general public needs like a day and like a news piece to remind them to think about, to stop and sort of think about, what am I doing? Where am I going? You know, who am I? Like these larger questions kind of about like your purpose in life, right? If there has to be this sort of designated day to do it, then part of me is like, okay, if it helps everyone just like take a deep breath and think about it, because I am really all for sort of setting your intentions and having, you know, having a vision for what you want in your life. And so I would like everyone to be doing that sort of on a daily basis. But if most people need the sort of push of it's the end of this particular calendar's year, then I guess I'm okay with it. But I agree with you that I feel like part of what happens is then we get all these like think pieces and listicles and all this stuff about what your New Year's resolutions should be. Yeah. And of course, immediately those are about prescribing certain kinds of behaviors, right? And also shaming us, right? Mm-hmm. And sort of controlling our behavior. So I feel like the number one resolution that people talk about is losing weight. And that's just really problematic. And I feel like it puts pressure on people. And Elle, you have this great blog post that you just did called 5 Ways to Get Past New Year's Fat Shaming. So I want to hear your thoughts on what you think about how to sort of get around that they're telling us what our resolution should be.
Right. And my feeling is, and this is just in general too, is nobody should be telling you what to do with your body. And there's the should again, but your body is your own. And this is one of the reasons why I don't love New Year's resolutions, because it does set people up to think in a certain way or to feel badly because they're not thinking a certain way. I just think that there's going to be a lot of triggering conversation around. There's going to be messaging from friends and family and television that is that's really shaming. And so you have to sort of pick yourself up and realize that it is it's your body and you get to do what you want with it. And one of the ways that I do this, because I can fall into that too, is, as you know, I watch television and the news and all of that, and there's a lot of commercials for weight loss. There's Marie Osmond, there's Dan Marino, there's Oprah, for crying out loud. Oprah's in on it now. Mm. And I just mute the commercials, because to hear that even passively does something to your body. You can almost, at least I can almost feel my body, sort of my shoulders go in and my body shrink down when I'm listening to these commercials, because they're so adamant that losing that 10 pounds with their food is going to make life worth living again. And when you're not feeling it, it can feel really abusive, to be perfectly honest. And I also like to have, you know, some really supportive books around, like, Rebecca Scritchfield has a body kindness book, which is obviously all about body kindness. And, Jess Baker has Things No One Will Tell Fat Girls. Mm. But I think one of my favorite books, because this goes to everybody out there, which is You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero, which just talks about being the badass self that you are. And even picking that up and reading a page a day is enough to sort of get your spirit up again and pass all that negativity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and there's also, I mean, I follow some amazing fat activists and body positive activists on Instagram who are constantly just posting really inspirational stuff. And by inspirational, I mean not bullshit inspirational and not we all aspire to be a size 2 inspirational. I mean, they're posting these amazing, really fabulous photos of themselves. There's like, there are some who are really into fashion, some that are sexy. And
Bevan.
Yeah, exactly. Like queer fat femme. And also I think Jess Baker just posted an image of her in lingerie.
Yes.
Did you see that recently?
Yes.
It was,
she's in Paris.
Stunning.
Yeah. Stunning. Gorgeous.
It was fucking gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
So I think also like counteracting the images of sort of skinny and white and pretty, counteracting those with other images.
That's a really good idea. Yeah.
So it, to me, it like balances out. So it's like I'm seeing the TV and I'm seeing the mainstream media, and then I'm seeing this alternative media universe that I've sort of curated, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who are people with all sorts of different bodies.
Right.
I think that helps me sort of not, like you said, not just like let it sink in and feel awful.
Yeah, to counteract it. You're absolutely right. Instagram is a really good idea of following those people too. And, you know, on Instagram, you can sort of curate your own images too and put them in sort of a file. And so I have,
you have to see what you don't want. You know what I mean? Like, skinny bitches can just be completely cut out and muted from your feed. If you want, you just cut it out.
Yes.
So is Raymond, are you making a New Year's resolution? Are you making some?
I probably will. And I guess I think when I was talking about like looking back on failed projects, in some ways I've been in more recent years been trying to sort of use as an example is to make more more modest things that I can sort of follow through on.
Mm.
So I do have I have a couple like creative projects I want to get done. And so I feel like maybe if I can kind of tie them to, so maybe not so much a resolution. It's more of a like planning for the year. You know what I mean? So working on a, maybe developing an app and things like that or whatever. So, but I think if you, any kind of occasion where you're taking it out of the like sitting around and talking about it phase into actually like writing it down is always a good first step. So.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like my New Year's resolution all the time is to write more.
Yeah.
And I especially, you know, I saw something great today on social media where it said, like, if you're an artist or a creator of some kind and you didn't create as much as you wanted to this year, it's okay. Like, keep going.
Right.
Because I really do feel like I feel like I want to be writing more than I am. And I feel like life has sort of gotten in the way of that for me. Okay. Let's take a break. The question for all of us in our next segment is what predictions can we make since we all also, you know, on the side do some psychic work? No, that's totally not true, you guys. What predictions can we make about the state of sexuality in 2018? Like we can name it and say it out loud here, and then if it comes true, you could win $5 or something. So think about that. You only have 2 minutes. Think about that, and when we come back, we'll just talk about the light subject of the future of sex in 2018. So stay with
Fantastic.
Us. Hey everyone, I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators' picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Had a little technical thing. I don't know if Raymond is. Yeah, no, he's not. Okay, so I'm going to add Raymond for sure. Oh. Raymond just sort of disappeared into the ether. Okay, I'm going to hang up with him there, and then I'm going to do it again here. Okay, I'm talking with Raymond Johnson, who's the associate producer of the show, and Elle Chase, and we teased before the break that we're going to talk about the future of sex. let's start actually where I usually end, but we're going to start, is I want, Elle, I want you to talk about how people can find you on the interwebs, because there's a lot of different places.
There are, but you can start by going to ellechase.com, and that's E-L-L-E, chase.com. And for the good porns, ladycheeky.com. And those two sites will get you where you want to go.
And then you're also the Elle Chase on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Yes. Thank you for that. Yes, I am. And I'm very active on Instagram. For the same reason you are. I love the puppies. I love the interior design and the jewelry.
Okay. Yeah. And of course, your book, which is a fantastic book, which everyone deserves to have and should be your gift to yourself instead of a weight loss program, is Curvy Girl Sex, 101 Body Positive Positions to Empower Your Sex Life.
Yes, yes. It's a great book. I love it. Because I wrote it, but I love it.
Oh, Raymond, how can people get you on the internet?
On the internet, I'm on Twitter at Raymond J, is my handle, and I know I dart in and out of Twitter, and then also my website is mountainzenshiatsu.com, and so that's my shiatsu business.
Fantastic.
Mountains and shiatsu. Yep.
So we were joking during the break. Well, first of all, during the breaks, we really should be recording, because during one of the breaks, we actually came up with a whole concept for an Amish porn film, which was called The Fabric and the Headset. Just chew on that for a moment. But we also were talking about if you ask the internet what the future of sex is or what's coming, it's all about teledildonics, technology, and sex robots. And all three of us said we don't really want to talk about that. So sex robots. Yes, that's our future.
I guess the only thing, whenever I think about sex robots, I think about that movie, the Spike Jonze movie, Her, with Joaquin Phoenix,
one of my favorite
Scarlett
movies.
Johansson. I love that movie too. And when I mean, I'm going to spoil this movie. I apologize. Turn it off if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
It's like 3 years old, so get on it. But I think it's still good, even when you know the ending.
Yeah.
But so there's this idea that there's, you know, these consciousness has been created in these new sort of virtual reality, you know, in the ear. Siri became your girlfriend, right? Mm-hmm. But I love the idea at the end of the movie is that, like, all of the robots, all the AI realize, like, we found this other greater place of universal consciousness. When y'all figure it out, meet me there. Peace out. And then they left. And I was like, that's how it's going to happen. They're not going to start a war. They're not going to try and take us down. They're just going to fucking leave us behind.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a horror movie. About the, you know. So that's right. Whenever I think about robots, like robot sex, I'm all like, yeah, enjoy it now. They're going to get away from us. They're not going to hang out with us.
They're going to be like, this isn't fun at all. I want to go have sex with my other robot friend.
I'm going to build a rocket ship to space and find another planet.
Yeah.
So.
But are there things that you sort of see coming down the pike that you feel like are going to be on the rise? Have there been think pieces about this? Is there a listicle out there? Like, what do you guys think?
I don't know. I don't really believe this. I'm sorry. Do you want to go ahead, Raymond?
No, you go. You go.
Okay. I don't really believe this, but I, much like sex robots, I'm getting a lot in on my radar about sex dolls. You know, I've been getting a lot of people emailing me about sex dolls. And I don't know if that's the future, but it certainly seems to be around right now.
Was there a price drop that happened in the industry, maybe?
I don't know.
I
maybe.
Mean, for real? They, like,
no, I'm serious.
Really expensive.
They're expensive. Yeah.
Really expensive.
I wonder if that would explain, like, if they suddenly, like, the cost to come down. So now you can get one for $5,000 or something like that.
Instead of $8,000,
yeah. $5,000 or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. So
yeah, because, like, the cream of the crop is, they're, like, $8,000 to $10,000.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But,
well, Tristan, yeah, you'll be excited to learn that on two of the lists that I Googled, butt stuff and was on the list, which I was like, why is that a new trend for 2018?
Oh, my God. Here's what I have to say about that. Okay.
Yes.
In the year 2018, people, it will be the 20th anniversary of the publication of my book, the first edition of The Ultimate Guide to Anal Sex for Women. 20th. So to describe me as an early adopter is like the biggest understatement of the century. Because if you are telling me that now butt stuff is cool and like the future is butt stuff, what the fuck have I been doing for 20 years?
Yeah. You are the doyen of anal sex.
Oh,
right.
I mean, it, like, on the one hand, like, I'm super psyched that, you know, Cosmo is totally on board and everyone's super blasé now about anal
men's
sex.
That's pretty impressive if men's health is like, all right, we're okay with you touching your
butt. We're like on board now with the butts. Yeah. Right. But it's just so funny to me because I feel like I've been doing this work for so long and now all of a sudden they're like, hey, you know what you might want to try?
Right. More adventurous souls will be able to explore pegging.
Oh, my God.
Now, a term used to describe a woman
wearing a strap-on. If in the future, I'm down with that, okay? Because
right.
I do believe there is a link, and, you know, I can't go into it here because it's such a big concept, but there is a link between men getting fucked in the ass and I think shifting their worldview.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that men who regularly get fucked in the ass have a different worldview than men who don't. Mm-hmm. And it's not universal. It's not across the board. But I'm just saying, I feel like there would be a lot less war, I think, if men got fucked in the ass. It's just a theory. It's just a theory. But that would be like, if I ran for president, that would be sort of a foreign policy piece of mine.
Yeah, I'm willing to go with it. I'm willing to give it a try. I think because I'm all in.
Yeah,
I just think like once I think that, you know, pegging is one, and I mean one small antidote to toxic masculinity.
Yeah, mm.
I think it can be a path for some men to really see things from a different perspective, to question their own masculinity, to really come to terms with their sexuality and their body in a different way, and to shed some of this bullshit that anyone who's raised male in this culture has thrown upon them, whether they want it or not.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if pegging's the future, I'm down with that. I'm totally down with that.
It also made me think of something Susie Wright once said to me randomly, which is everyone needs to have their asshole French kiss sometimes. So.
Okay, so Susie Wright, swimming is the gateway. The gateway.
Yeah. The gateway to heaven.
Right.
Oh, sure.
So, butt stuff in the future.
It's such a positive note, right? It does.
It
fills me with hope, which God knows we need a little bit of fucking hope. I want to tease for the next 30 seconds just some shows that are coming up in the new year because I'm excited about them. I taped a two-part show when I went to Mexico for Swing Set Takes Over Desire, which is a clothing optional, adults only, super sex positive and progressive swinger event. It is by far the highlight of my year, was my 1 week in Mexico with the Swing Set, by far. So if we're like looking back, I'm saying it by a landslide. I also, though, didn't have my phone on the whole time. So there was like many things that were going on there that probably made the highlight of my year. But one of them was this incredible, incredible event. And so I'm going to do a two-part show about that. There's also a show coming up, which has been in the editing booth for a year almost, where I try out different sex machines with friends of mine. Oh. So that's exciting. Barbara Corellis is coming back on the show to talk about the new edition of Urban Tantra, which I think is one of the most important sex books of our time. And who else? Do we have anyone else in the pipeline that we really want on the show, Raymond?
I'm trying to think about who. I'm in talks with people. I don't want to jinx anything. Oh, Whitney Lopez is also coming on January 12th.
Oh, Whitney Lopez. Fantastic. Yes. Oh, and also we're going to try to get Dossie Easton and Janet Hardy.
Yes.
The new edition of The Ethical Slut just came out. Ooh. And they're going to have, like, I think, some cool shit to say because they were, again, very early adopters. And things in that whole world have changed so much. So I'm looking forward to that, too.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I'm going to have a New Year's Eve party. And you should follow me on Instagram. If nothing, I'm planning a Ms. Pac-Man-themed cheese tray.
Love it.
So if you want to see that and you're not following me on Instagram, you are going to miss that. So I'm just saying, follow me on Instagram. Okay. You can also follow me on Facebook.com/AskTristan. You can follow me on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. Follow the show on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. Follow my guests on Twitter. You heard about that at the top of the hour. And otherwise, I want everyone to have more joy, more peace, more justice in 2018. Until next year, everyone. We're signing off. Let me thank everyone, executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer, and my co-host tonight, Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, who always does a great job, everyone at Voice America. This is it. Happy New Year, everyone, and I'll see you on the other side.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.